Chris and Lisa, I love you so much. And I'm just so excited to be here this morning. You have the best pastors. Do you realize that? Yes, that deserves a huge, oh, come on. That deserves a little bit bigger clap than that. A lot a bit louder. But we still consider you guys pastors to us as well. So thank you for being so supportive, so loving. And I'm so excited to be here sharing the word with you again so soon, because God has put something on my heart for you today. And boy, I'm so excited. So let's pray. God, we love you so much. Your love for us, just our only response back is, wow, you have so much more to pour out to us as your children, as your sons, your daughters. These men and women of God that have gathered here today. So I pray that we would meet you like a feast at a table. We would meet you at your word today. I pray this in your awesome name, Jesus. Amen. Jesus has this amazing statement in John 10:10, and I like the Passion Translation of this. Jesus says, "I have come to give you everything in abundance, more than you expect, life in its fullness until you overflow." Abundant life. We've heard this phrase, right? Abundant life. There's more. There's more. Let that sink in for a minute. There's more. It's a whole album that Hillsong put out even recently, because it's in the air. It's like God's saying to us, there's more. There's more. I have more for you. When we transitioned out and took our big leap of faith and moved over to Nashville, there were several months, if I'm honest, where I felt like my best days were behind me, which is a compliment to you all, because you're our best days, right? You're like, yeah, Summit can't compete with that, Nashville, you know. But it was so discouraging, because I could look back and I could see all these beautiful moments in my life with God and in our ministry life in God. And I just went, man, like, is this all there is? And it was so beautiful, because on two different occasions, I walked up to our now new pastor that we're sitting under and learning from. And both times I said hello to him, he said to me, oh, you know, the best days are ahead. And I think he was just declaring that prophetically, because the Lord knew that I was dealing with the, is this all there is? Like, are my best days behind me? That this pastor just prophetically spoke into my heart and said, your best days are ahead. And I want to come and just share that. That's the season, the journey that I've been in, that there is more. There's an abundant life for us in Jesus. He promises it to us. And I think sometimes our struggle when life isn't so abundant is that we start coming to wrong conclusions. And maybe you've thought some of these. Like, I've wondered, maybe I'm not worthy of more. Have you ever felt that way? Like, I don't really deserve more. You know, you kind of feel a little unworthy. Anybody? Yeah. I saw a couple hands over here. Thank you. Waving them. Yeah. Sometimes I feel like God's holding out on me. Like, if I'm being honest, I'm a little angry at God, you know, talking about comparing. Like, why are you opening that door for them, God, and not for me? Anybody relate to that one? You know. And then sometimes, because our life experience doesn't match this promise that Jesus declared, then we reason it out and we go, oh, well, maybe he's talking about heaven, you know, like, he came to give us access to heaven. So maybe the abundant life that he's speaking of, like, maybe we get tastes of it here, but maybe, like, one day when we're in heaven, that's what Jesus meant. You know, we, like, rationalize because our experiences don't match it. But I think if Jesus said it, we get to cling to it today. We get to go, Jesus, you promised abundant life. And I want that. Anybody with me? You want more? I do too. And if you're like me and you've come to this place this morning, you just feel like, oh, but I'm so empty. Then I want to encourage you with this story. You're not alone. Open your Bibles with me to 2 Kings chapter 4. We're going to begin in verse 1. I'm reading on the NIV. Those of you that have your Bible app on your phone, pull it up if you want to follow along in NIV. Starting in verse 1, the wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elisha, "Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that he revered the Lord. But now his creditor is coming to take my two boys as his slaves." So here we know Elisha is a prophet of God, and this widow comes to him, and we know they're a godly family, because she says, my husband revered the Lord. He was in the company of the prophets. There were all these people that were seeking God. So this is a godly family. These are good people. And this woman has lost her husband, which is more than just her companion in life. This was her provision. This was her security. This husband passing while her boys must have been too little themselves to work and provide for her. She was at a place of such extreme need. She goes to this prophet and says, my boys are going to be taken away as slaves. You know my husband revered the Lord. Do something. She comes to the prophet. And I'm thinking, you know, for us, maybe what that looks like is us saying, okay, I've given my life to Christ, so, like, why are all these bad things still happening? Like, I thought once I gave my life to Christ, I thought once I started tithing, you know, that I would all of a sudden have tons of money, or, you know, we go, what's happening here? And that's where this woman's at. She's like, we revered the Lord. Why is this happening to us? When we feel empty, when here's number one, if you want to fill this in your outlines, life takes from us. We feel empty when life takes from us. It's like sometimes life demands from us more than we have to give. I worked at another church, not this one, but another church where it was a very demanding culture. It was a very demanding environment. And I remember after a long weekend of pouring out in ministry that I would crash on Sunday night and I didn't know when I was going to wake up the next day. And you guys, I almost said y'all. I've been in the South a little too long. I like stopped myself before I did it. Just not, ooh, that was good. But my record was 21 hours of sleeping, not getting up, not waking up a single time. Some of you that maybe have worked like doubles or something, maybe you've got some of those records, but 21 hours, like my poor kidneys, you know? I was like, how did that happen? It's like you wake up and you don't even know what day or time it is. Demanding jobs. Anybody have a demanding job? Take, 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 and you're like, I don't have any time to balance my life and refuel. Maybe unfulfilled expectations that you wanted out of life, you know, and it didn't happen. Like in your 20s, there's all this promise, all this hope of all these things, and then you get in your 30s, like, I thought I would have this job by now, or this title by now, or these kids by now, or, you know, be married by now, or whatever it is, these unmet expectations. Maybe it's a death or an illness. Something unforeseen you didn't see coming, and all of a sudden there's this extra demand on your emotional energy and your physical energy. And sometimes it's financial loss, you know, an unexpected setback that you didn't see coming. A needy relationship, having got family drama, you know, you're like, oh, it just sucks life from us, huh? Life is always taking. So where do we go? Well, I'll tell you what I turn to fill the void. Netflix. Right? Like, I'm just going to avoid the reality of my situation and go waste, you know, hours binging this TV show or whatever. It's like, when you invest that much time, can I just side note for a minute? When you invest that much time in watching a whole show, like that's seasons and seasons and seasons long, and then you get to the end and it's a horrible ending, is anybody else frustrated about that? Like, I have been with this show, you know, 7 seasons of Lost, and then what? That's the end? That's the best you could do? It's just very frustrating, right? We invest all this time in it. Netflix binging. I know you're the same as me, so yeah. Comfort food. Oh, we've been eating all the yummy places, all the yummy things since we've been here visiting. But food, right? We turn to food. It's like, oh, just get comfort from that. Some of us, the pressure builds up inside and we vent to a friend or maybe even a stranger, and all of a sudden, bleh, it's like all this stuff comes out just to relieve, you know, the pressure. We're just so frustrated. Addictions. Ooh, that one's tough, isn't it? I don't want to admit that I'm addicted to sugar, you know? Shopping. And this isn't just women. Like, some of us, yeah, ladies, we're like, we know how to shop, and it just brings us a lot of therapy, you know, in those carts roaming around those stores. But some of you guys, I mean, online shopping, you know, the next gun that you want to get, you know, stuff like that. It's like, oh, this is going to add so much joy to my life. I did not mean to pick that as an illustration, Pastor Chris. We were talking about guns the other day. But anyway, but it applies to guys too. That was my point, is that all of us, we turn to these things, but the sad reality is those things never satisfy. We get to the end of the show. Have you seen that commercial? And it's show hole, they call it, where you're like, oh, like I'm emptier than I was before. Because even these fake people with this fake reality, things didn't turn out for them the way I'd hoped, you know? More depressed than we were before. Some of us, we fake it and we go, I'm okay. Don't let them see you sweat. Others of us suffer with depression and we don't want anyone to know. We kind of hide it. All the while, life continues to take and we just feel empty. We feel empty. This woman goes to Elisha the prophet. She cries out to him. Verse 2, Elisha replied to her, "How can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house? What do you have in your house?" This is her reply. "Your servant has nothing here at all," she said, "except a small jar of olive oil." It's like when I was packing to come here, and you know, you try on everything you own. You know, you're having to pack, and so you're like, okay, does this still fit? It's summer now. It's really hot in California, you know. And I come out inevitably to Evan in the living room, exasperated, and I go, "I have nothing to wear. I have nothing here at all." Well, okay, except I have a small jar of olive oil, you know. I have nothing here at all. We feel empty when, number two, focused on our lack. I have nothing at all except a small jar of olive oil. Olive oil is made when olives are pressed. Oh. It symbolizes the Holy Spirit. So the truth is, we don't have nothing. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 7 through 9. It says, "But we have this treasure in jars of clay, to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us." And listen to this, receive this in your heart today. "We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed." Come on! May the pressing yield the oil of God in our lives. I may be pressed on every side, but I can allow it to bring forth oil in my life, because it's not going to crush me. I'm not going to be destroyed. This thing is not going to take me out. You are not going to get taken out. You are not going to get taken out. You may feel the weight of the world on your shoulders, but you are not going down for the count. Somebody just need to be encouraged. That wasn't in my notes. There you go. That was free. May our lives yield oil. We may only be small, fragile clay jars, but the Holy Spirit is inside of us. Imagine that. Let that resonate within you. We talk about God all the time. We talk about Jesus all the time. But His Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead, God living inside you. The most powerful thing in the universe that created the universe is dwelling. He's made His home inside of me. So I'm asking you today, what do you have in your house? Who is in your house?
J.C.
Remember that Carmen song?
J.C.
Yeah. Some of you are like, "Who's Carmen?" Yeah. You need to go listen on Spotify or something. Okay. Titus chapter 3, verses 4 through 7, I wanted to share this with you. But when God our Savior revealed His kindness and love, He saved us. How many of you are grateful that He saved us? Yes. Not because of the righteous things we have done, but because of His mercy. He washed away our sins, giving us a new birth, a new life through the Holy Spirit. He generously poured out the Spirit upon us through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Because of His grace, He made us right in His sight and gave us confidence that we will inherit eternal life. If you have never said to Jesus, "I want to give my life to you and I want to allow you to take up residence in me," you're missing out. There's more. There's more for you. You may walk through life so confused, no purpose, or so discouraged, no hope, and you just invite Jesus in, and all of a sudden, everything changes. A brand new life, a fresh start. I'm going to give you an opportunity to pray with us when we close in prayer to receive Jesus today. Okay, verse 3, Elisha said, "Go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Don't just ask for a few. Then go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour oil into all the jars, and as each is filled, put it to one side." So Elisha, the prophet, says, go get as many jars as you can. And here's a beautiful key. You're going to want to write this down. An increase in her emptiness meant an increase in her capacity. When you feel an increase in your emptiness, God is increasing your capacity. So going around to all the neighbors, can you just imagine her and her sons going around to all the neighbors and going in and saying, hey, do you have an empty jar? And realizing, I'm not the only one with an empty jar. There's such great comfort in coming to another believer and saying, I'm having a hard time, and them going, yeah, it's been a rough week for me too. Instead of, hi, how are you? Oh, everything's great, right? I'm guilty of this because I'm like, I don't want people to know I'm discouraged, you know? Like, I don't want them to know I think my best days are behind me and I'm so glad to be at Summit where people love me, you know? Like, that's just depressing, right? So we go, oh, everything's great. Oh, it's awesome, you know? But what if we were vulnerable? What if we said, yeah, I have an empty jar too? That would be beautiful, wouldn't it? To come together and admit, hey, I'm struggling. I'm empty. I need more of God. He's increasing my capacity right now because I feel so empty. There's something beautiful about that. So we feel empty when life takes from us, focused on our lack. And number three is trying to be self-sufficient. Trying to be self-sufficient. Can I encourage you to stop striving? Stop trying to do it on your own, in your own strength, with your own ingenuity. This is often a point whenever I communicate God's word because it's something that I struggle with all the time. And God always highlights to me when people are trying to do things on their own and saying, hey, stop being self-sufficient and be God-dependent. Evan and I, you know I love gardening, those of you that know me. And we were outside this spring. Rewind, we signed our lease in December, and the grass doesn't really grow in the winter. And so he told us, our landlord told us, you're going to have to mow the lawn and keep up the lawn. So we said, okay, we knew that when we signed the lease. So spring comes, and I'm dreaming about a garden. I'm like ready to, you know, till the ground and prepare the soil, and how are we going to keep the squirrels out of the vegetables? And, you know, I'm thinking through, and Evan's like, whoa, time out. Like, we don't have a lawnmower. Like, let's take care of the things we actually are required to be responsible for first before you go off dreaming, you know? And so, oh, just the despair in my heart when I realized, like, I'm not going to get a garden. We can't even afford to buy a lawnmower to mow our lawn, you know? Like, we've never had to do this before, and it's this huge lawn, and it's going to take us forever pushing this mower around, you know? So, I mean, just despair in my heart going, oh, Lord, like, you know my heart. You know my heart, God. Like, where are you right now? You know, just all pitiful. Everyone's like, Carissa, it's a lawn. Like, come on, grow up, right? But in that moment, what was so amazing, you guys, we hadn't been outside more than 20 minutes. The very day, the very moment we are standing outside, a big old truck with a trailer comes backing up into our driveway. And out comes this crew of lawn care workers. This man comes riding down the ramp. He's in the riding mower and smiles and begins to mow our lawn. Evan, you have got to tell him to stop. We are not paying for this, you know? What is happening? We did not order this, you know? It was amazing. Evan goes over to them. He goes, like, we didn't set this up. And the guy said, oh, you know, the home opener set it up. So Evan texts our landlord and says, hey, there's a lawn care crew here and they're doing the lawn. And our landlord texts back and says, I didn't set it up, but, you know, go ahead and let them do it and I'll take care of it this time. And Evan's like, oh, thank you so much, you know. So I sit on my living room couch and I start crying because I realize the very moment that I'm feeling the most pathetic, God goes, I got you. I love you. And if it was one gift of one day, of one time, it spoke so loudly that God sees every detail and every need. And if he's big enough to bring an entire crew to mow and weed whack our lawn, he's big enough to bring us a lawnmower, right? So the next day comes, and Evan gets another text from our landlord. And he says, hey, I decided to keep the lawn care coming. They'll be there every 2 weeks. Let me know if anything changes. What?
That's just like showing off now, God. Like, I already knew you loved me and you cared about me, but this is just like beyond my imagination of what could happen. Meanwhile, I'm, oh, Evan, don't let them do this. We're going to have to pay, right? And God's just like, girl, calm down. I'm not advocating laziness, but if we looked at this woman, isn't a part of you like, how dare this man leave his family destitute, right? You know, like those of us that are like, be an adult, go get a job, take care of your needs, take care of your family. Is that anybody else? Does anybody else feel like that? Like, come on, like, grow up, think ahead, plan ahead, right? Like, that's kind of our mindset. It's a lawn. It's your responsibility. Take care of it, right? That's how we think as human beings. But could it be that God takes us into an empty season because he wants to take us there on purpose? He's revealing to us our misplaced confidence. Like, could he be taking into those places because he has this goal of increasing our God dependence? That's the season I've been in, and I'm so grateful for it. Because I can testify that God is good and he loves you. And even when you've messed up, even when you're being irresponsible, you're not too far from his reach and his love. Alicia Bricholi is one of my, I have a favorite book, and she's the author of this book. And she says it like this: unfulfilled longings serve to deepen the well of our desire for God. Unfulfilled longings serve to deepen the well of our desire for God. So if you're empty, you're being set up. If you're in a season where you're dealing with physical health issues, God wants to invite you into a season where you know him as your healer. If you're in a season where you're needing to come up with creative ideas, he wants to reveal to you his creativity. If you're in a season where you're struggling, you're an at-home mom and you feel like you don't have purpose, you don't have identity except for doing the same thing every day. Maybe you walked away from a job and a title and you go, who am I without that job, without that title? And you feel like God's taking you into this desert season. Could it be that he's trying to reveal more of his nature to you? To go, come away with me. Come away with me. I want to reveal another aspect of my goodness in your life. And I can tell you that the season is painful going through that in the moments, especially if we're kicking and screaming going into it. But what we see of God on the other end is so worth the pressing. I don't want you to alleviate this pressure, God, until you've completed the work that you're doing in me. Are you with me today? That's our prayer, God. He reveals himself to us in these seasons. So don't stop longing. Don't stop longing for fulfillment. The Garden of Eden, the Promised Land, these are God ideas. When Jesus says, I have abundant life for you, that is a God idea. That is available to every single one of us. Woo! Every single one of us. Not just the pastors, because they're good and they deserve it, right? All of us, every single one of us. God gifts us with the hunger, and then he tells us how to fill it. Look, Elisha gives her instructions. He says, go inside and shut the door. Go inside and shut the door. What is he talking about? Well, Matthew 6:6, Jesus tells us. He says, but when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. So to experience abundant life, here's number one, get in his presence. Get in his presence. Verse 5, she left him. She shut the door behind her and her sons. They brought the jars to her and she kept pouring. Symbolically, in his presence, what do we pour? Psalm 62:8 says, trust him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. When life takes from us, we pour out our hearts in prayer. When all we see is lack, we turn to our provider. When we give up our self-sufficiency, we lean into the empowering presence of God. 2 Corinthians 3:5 says, yet we don't see ourselves as capable enough to do anything in our own strength. For our true competence flows from God's empowering presence. Our true competence flows from God's empowering presence. He's not waiting for me to figure it out. Well, maybe if you just get smart enough, if you just exercise a little more discipline, if you just, you know, get out there and run the rat race and do the work. And oh, the striving. No. No, I'm not advocating laziness. I'm advocating God dependence. Our true competence comes from his presence. In his presence, he rescues, he restores, he refills. How many of you have had these experiences before in God? Everything you need at the foot of Jesus. I love it because David also pours out not only his prayer, but he always links it to worship. He pours out his heart in worship. It's like he makes all his complaints. Where are you, God? How long are you going to wait to fulfill this or to answer this prayer? And then he always ends up going back to worship. He links his need with what he knows of God's nature. He says, this is my need, but this is what I know about you, God. He links those two. That's what he pours out. Can't tell you how many countless times I've experienced that at the feet of Jesus. So I want to encourage you to get in his presence. And I'm not just talking about when the worship team is up here leading you. I'm saying in your home, in your closet, go in, shut the door, get alone with God, get in his presence. God is way more. He has way more for us. Our place of lack becomes the place of potential for the Holy Spirit to fill. The miracle was in the pouring. The miracle was in the pouring. Elisha didn't say, okay, go home. There's going to be a bunch of jars magically appear. They're going to be full of olive oil. No, he said, take the little jar that you have and pour it out. The miracle was in the pouring. Could it be that our greatest breakthrough is right there in that moment at the presence of Jesus pouring out our heart? Could it be that's the moment of breakthrough for us? The miracle was in the pouring. She poured out the little she had and the Holy Spirit poured in abundance. Verse 6, when all the jars were full, she said to her son, bring me another one. But he replied, there's not a jar left. Then the oil stopped flowing. I love it. We've only been on a couple cruises. I don't really care for cruises. I'm sorry for those of you that love cruises. But there is one thing that I love. And it is the fact that no matter what time of day, I can walk into the food court and I can pull down the little lever and that ice cream keeps flowing as much as I want, as many times a day as I want. And because you're on a cruise, it doesn't matter, right? You can have as much food as you want. I mean, it's breakfast. I had my eggs. Now I'm going to go have some ice cream, you know? It just keeps flowing. Where did all of this come from? Because it didn't come from nothing. It originated from one woman's obedience to pour out the little bit that she had. If you were in this woman's situation, you would not be generous. You would not pour out the little bit that you had. That would be crazy. You would go, you want me to pour out the little bit I have in my bank account? No, I need more in my bank account, not less, right? This wouldn't make sense to us. I wonder what would have happened if she had said, you know, I'm not willing to pour out the little bit that I had. I can't give up the little I had. She would have missed out on a miracle. She would have missed out on a miracle. I don't know about you, but I don't want to miss out. If there's more, I want it. Like ice cream. Again and again and again, I'm coming back to you, Lord. To experience abundant life, here's number two, fully surrender. Fully surrender. When did the oil stop flowing? Once every empty jar was full, right? Once there were no longer any empty jars, any neighbor who did not surrender their empty jar did not get it filled. Anyone who hoarded that empty jar, they didn't get it filled. And I wonder if there's an area in our life that we have yet to surrender to God. What area he might be calling us to surrender in, and we're too scared because it's this little bit that we have. We go, but if I give this, I'm going to have nothing. If I break up with that person, I'm going to have nobody. If I walk away from that job and that title, I'm going to be a nobody. The little bit in my bank account, you're asking me to give it to missions? Then what am I going to have left? I wonder what area God might be asking us to surrender today. Because abundance is on the other side of surrender. He has more. He's not concerned about making sure that you have enough. He's looking at your heart. He's saying, do I have your heart? Because I have way more to pour out to you, but do I have your heart? It makes us anxious, doesn't it? Like for me, Evan and I, we love to feed people. We love buying their food. And there have been times, even in Nashville, a homeless person would come up, you know, asking for money. Whether they're using it for drugs or an actual meal, it's like that's not even the point for us. In our deep need financially, especially last fall, Evan and I remained generous. It didn't make sense. Everything in us wanted to hold on to that 20 that was in the wallet, you know? And instead, I would see my husband, and I just was so proud to go, this is my husband who's leading me in this season. When as a man, you're going like, this is my responsibility to take care of my wife. And I would see him hand money to homeless people. And I just think for us, that doesn't make sense. But for God, he's going, if you're willing to be generous when you have only a small little jar, I can trust you with vats of oil. Because there's more. There's an abundant life on the other side of our surrender. What's he asking us to surrender today? Look at Psalm 119, verses 111 through 112. Everything you speak to me is like joyous treasure, filling my life with gladness. And I love this. I have determined in my heart to obey whatever you say fully and forever. There's a treasure, and it goes beyond what this world has to offer. There's more for us. The Holy Spirit is our unending supply. Abundance is found in him, and he is found inside of us. But the oil only flows into surrendered empty jars. Verse 7, she went and told the man of God, and he said, go, sell the oil, pay your debts, you and your sons can live on what is left. So she goes to Elisha and he instructs her on how to manage the resources she's been blessed with. So to experience abundant life, we must get in his presence, fully surrender. And here's number 3, practice stewardship. Practice stewardship. It includes how we manage our time, our talent, our treasure, our testimony, all those things. And this is what a good steward asks. Jesus, what do you want me to do with what you've given me? A good steward knows when to give and when to be responsible with, when to work for those things and when to sit and rest and receive those things. Because a good steward is tuned into the voice of the Father and saying, what do you want me to do with what you've given me? My hands are open. If it's a little, if it's a lot, it's all yours. You get to say what I'm going to do with this. Generous people get more joy out of giving than accumulating. You can ask anybody. There are very wealthy people that have it all and they're unhappy. And you have other people that have given away thousands and they're the most fulfilled, happy people we know. People who volunteer and serve feel more fulfilled. Some of you wonder why you're not fulfilled. You're not living your purpose. You're part of this body. You're part of this community. You're called to serve. You're called to volunteer. Not because we just need more people to take care of the babies. That's not what it's about. It's that you belong here. This is your family. Everybody's part of this family. You have a job here. You have a role. You have a purpose that only you can do. People who start their day with Jesus, they handle the rest of it so much easier. They have joy when something bad happens at work. It's like, who are you? You know, oh, I spent my morning with Jesus and he said everything's going to be okay. People who share their gospel story, they tell their testimony of how Jesus has saved them. They discover eternal purpose in living because this is only temporary. And people need to know about Jesus. They need to know that he still heals, that he still fulfills, that he still loves, that he still forgives. You may feel empty today, but you don't have nothing. You don't have nothing. What do you have? What are you doing with what you've been given? Matthew 25:29, Jesus says, to those who use well what they are given, even more will be given, and they will have an abundance. I want to pray for you. Bow your heads with me. And this is a blessing that I wanted to pray over you. It's found in Ephesians chapter 3. Just let these words sink in. to your heart today. You may want to raise your hands like you're receiving it, or put your hands out in front of you like you're receiving this blessing today from the Lord. But I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That you, being rooted and established in love, may have power to grasp the love of Christ. That you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. And earlier, I just told you, you know, inviting Jesus means the Holy Spirit takes up residence inside you. And if you've never asked Jesus to come into your life, I just want to give you an opportunity if that's you. I'm not going to embarrass you, but if you'd raise your hand wherever you're at, I'll see it. I just want to pray with you this morning. We all want to cheer you on as you make this decision. You cross over this line. You make this big step today. There's parties that happen in heaven all the time. Every single time somebody says yes to Jesus. Does anybody want to receive the free gift of grace today? Awesome. Awesome. There's a couple ladies, any guys, you just feel, it's almost like your heart starts pounding a little bit. Like, you know, this is me, this is me. That's the Holy Spirit. He's knocking on your door. I think that's why our heart kind of pounds a little bit. It's like he's knocking on our door. Anybody else? Could we all pray with these two lovely ladies this morning? Just say this out loud with me. Say, dear Jesus, I believe you, that you have more for me. And I receive today your gift of grace, your unrelenting love. And I give you my life. And I pray you would take up residence inside of me. Holy Spirit, I invite you in. Give me the abundant life that you've promised in your word. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.